And Boston, More Than a Feeling. That was 1976. I was unfortunately aged 10 in 1976, so all you mathematicians out there can work that one out as to how old Radio Caroline is. Anyway, I'm really excited because sat in front of me are two beautiful people, Christian Feetham and Prudence Gregson. Welcome, guys.
Good evening.
Thank you. Yeah.
Can you just speak in a little closer to your microphone, please, Christian? That would be
certainly
great. And just say hello.
Hello.
Yeah, excellent. Fantastic. We're all sorted. So, very special night tonight, getting these two on. They've had a lot of experiences in the last year. The last year. Now, Christian, we've got lots of overseas listeners to this program, lots of overseas listeners, and many out-of-towners, because we broadcast live over the internet. So you're going to have to bring everybody up to speed as to why you're in here tonight and what did actually happen to you.
A lot of Australian legislations have changed over the years. There's a lot of Irish which have also been expelled, especially on working visas and so forth. But they're also focusing on a lot of Kiwis, also New Zealanders. The legislations that are in place, they're getting tougher on immigration laws.
Mm-hmm.
And that can affect people that have been here for a long time. It can affect families as well.
Yep. And so you're telling me you're not an Australian?
I was born in New Zealand.
Yep.
My family's been here for 180 years.
Yep.
Yep. Very pioneering family down in the Otways here. Back in the mid-70s, I was born over in New Zealand, come back here, baptised in Apollo Bay when I was 3 months old.
Yep.
But at that time of travel, there was a trade agreement between Australia and New Zealand, and you didn't need passports or visas to travel. So there was no proof of the documentation of me coming back to Australia, except for my New Zealand birth certificate.
Right, okay. And so what actually happened just recently?
What happened recently?
Mm-hmm.
I had a troubled past. Yep, I spent a bit of time in incarceration. I committed a couple of offences, driving offences, drunken assaults and so forth.
Yep.
Put that all behind me. Next thing, ABF, Australian Border Force, rocked up to my work depot. I actually thought it had something to do with a eBay order.
Right.
But no, they were there to put me into detention centre.
Right. So, okay. For being an illegal immigrant.
Well, they did cancel the visa. Yes.
Right. Okay.
My permanent residential visa.
Yeah. So for the overseas listeners and people who aren't up to speed with it, that's actually what happened to Christian. And so what happened next? They just marched you off and away you went?
Yes. They put me in Maribyrnong Immigration Detention Centre.
Right.
And we got in contact with lawyers, and then the fight began from there to remain here.
Right, okay. And so how long were you in detention centre for?
6.5 months.
Six and a half.
I'm only just a short stay.
Wow.
There's been a lot of people there for 4 years, 5 years. There was even a refugee that I know 9 years in detention.
Wow, it is a long time. So, you're obviously here today with us, but can you just describe for the community, because I'm sure you've been asked this 1,000 times, what was it like in there? What is it like in a detention centre? I mean, what do you do all day? What do you
eat? It's terrible. We're allowed to have a phone. At least we can have communications with our family and friends and so forth, but we can't work in there. They do have a few little activities like the gym and a few art classes, education sort of thing. So we can keep ourselves semi-occupied, but that's only for like a couple of hours each weekday.
Wow.
But other than that, we can't do much at all.
Just sat twiddling your thumbs a lot of the time?
Pretty much, yes.
And Prudence, are you allowed to visit?
Yeah, absolutely. There was visit times, but even with visiting, it was there was a lot of red tape to get through with those visits. You've got to jump online and create an account to visit. You've got to make sure you've got your 100 points of ID with you, not only when you're putting in the application, but when you're turning up at the centre and the employees, the Serco employees and so forth that you're dealing with on the other side. It's very intrusive and it's very it's not a nice place or a place to have to go and visit, and especially if you're taking families and children, it's quite heartbreaking
because you've got a little girl, Christian.
Yes, I do. And I've so got was a little girl. She's seven.
Yeah.
Yep. She actually went and visited me in the immigration detention centre. Yes.
Wow. Anyway, this is quite amazing. And this is the questions that people want. These are what people want to know, you know, because people don't understand quite what goes on in these places. So how did you occupy yourself then? If there was only just a little bit of activities,
social media. We had a mobile phone, social media.
Yeah.
You're not even allowed to do hobbies or anything like that. You might have a colouring book and a few pencils to keep yourself occupied, but you can't work in there. You're not allowed to work in there. The government have cleaners come through and they clean the floors, they clean the toilets, they clean the kitchen. We don't do any of that.
Can't contribute to cooking.
Yeah, we can't contribute to nothing.
So you were fed, obviously. They feed you,
yes,
obviously.
Yes, yep. And some of the food was quite good, actually.
Oh, okay.
Some of it was... Yeah.
Chicken and rice. Chicken and rice.
Right.
They have to cater for everybody's needs,
yep.
You know, and dietary needs also.
Yeah.
So you do have a bit of a variety to choose from.
Yep. So, okay. So when did you, obviously you're out now, when did you hear that you were getting out and how quickly did it happen?
On Wednesday, and it happened within an hour.
So it was a complete shock.
Okay, last Wednesday. So you had an hour's worth of... But funny enough, on 2 days before that, on the Monday last week, I had enough of it.
Right.
I had to get out of there. I was ready to make the move to New Zealand.
Yeah.
I have to be more proactive in my life instead of sitting in detention, being depressed. Mm-hmm. Everybody around you is depressed. It's a terrible scene to be in. So I actually signed the documentation with immigration to make the move to New Zealand.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, I was expecting to see the removal team.
Yeah.
For me to go to New Zealand.
Yeah.
And they said, nope. We're letting you out. So within an hour, I was released back onto the streets.
And so did you know this? So you must, Prudence, you must have just...
It was an absolute shock. But Caroline, the thing that Christian hasn't mentioned is that there was a transitional period between the Maribyrnong Detention Centre and then going across to the Broadmeadows Transit Accommodation.
Yeah.
And that was another level again from where Christian's original holding was at the Maribyrnong Detention Centre. It was a lot harder. It was a lot more, I guess, the conditions were a lot harder on the detainees in that place. And on the Sunday, or the Saturday and the Sunday before the Monday, that Christian had come to terms with, maybe now it's, I just can't hang in there any longer. This is just breaking. It was breaking him emotionally. I was on the phone to him every day, and to see him physically and emotionally, you could see it was just breaking him down. And I referred to the Broadmeadows Detention Centre as a holding paddock that's just going to mentally break you down until you get to the point where you want to sign off, because it's not living in there. It's they're just walking around like zombies. They're existing from day to day.
Yeah.
And I think Christian had mentioned in a conversation at one point over the phone that one chap had said to him, you know, don't hang in there, Christian, because by 18 months you'll just zone out.
Right.
Like that would be a coping mechanism.
You just
don't think about it anymore. And that was just heartbreaking. So we went in on the weekend. When I say we, it was myself and my son, and just awful detention visiting centre there. I felt like I was being held in detention on that weekend. But, you know, it was Christian and I talked about it, and we agreed that it would be the best thing for his mental stability. And
after you visited
Broadmeadows, that weekend,
I had your support
to
make the move to New
Zealand. We'd said our goodbyes that may be the last time we saw each other.
So if you would have actually gone to New Zealand, would they have allowed you back in again or not? You'd have to go through some process.
We're in the process of applying through the Administrative Appeals Tribunal for citizenship by descent. And that because on my mother's side of the family has been here for 180 years.
Yeah.
So we do have rights to keep applying for citizenship by descent, which we will still be doing.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, now you've been released. I've got to use that word because it sounds...
It's back to business as usual, and I'm still shell-shocked about it all.
When you got released, was there caveats on you? Do you have to apply for Australian citizenship?
No. It was ministerial intervention
Yeah.
So the minister had his own discretion to allow me whatever visa he'd like to give me.
Right.
And he just reinstated my residential visa.
Right, okay. So would it be worthwhile you now getting citizenship?
Yes.
You're going to, so this doesn't crop up again?
Through the Administrative Appeals Tribunal. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That application's been submitted and it's sitting there waiting, but that's the one that we were talking about that could take up until September of next year before looked at or picked up.
God, they don't rush these things, do they?
No. No. Immigration for Australia, very busy people.
Crikey, Riley. Yeah, okay. Now, guys, I'm just going to play a song, and when we come back, I just want to chat a little bit more to you, Prudence, about the community and what happened and what was all happening. I don't know whether you were aware, Christian, of all this stuff that was happening while you were in there, presumably if you were talking to each other.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm just going to play some In Excess, peeps, and we'll be back with Christian Feetham and Prudence Gregson. A little bit of In Excess, Australian band. Thought it was a little bit fitting, you know, seeing as I've got Christian Feetham here and Prudence Gregson. So we were just chatting off air about, mainly with you, Prudence, about how you visited Christian and what you had to go through. Do you want to just repeat that for me? Because you just said it to me. I'd love everybody in the community to actually know that. If you could just say what you said.
Yep. So we'd turn up for our scheduled meeting time, and you'd have to apply for those visits online 5 days, five clear working days before the day you actually wanted to visit a detainee.
Yeah.
And then you would need to wait for those approvals to come back. And during the course of the 6.5 months, there was multiple transitions with the Border Force website and how you actually make a visit. So they don't make it easy at all. But once you get there, you need to check in. You need to go through your clearances with your ID. You need to be drug tested on your clothing and shoes, and take off your shoes most of the time. And then you weren't able to take food or gifts or any entertainment things pretty much at all. If you did, it was maybe a book, but then they'd have to check that and drug screen that. And then we would be walked into an area for visiting, and Maribyrnong was much more family friendly, I suppose you could say, in comparison to the Broadmeadows Detention Centre. But, you know, sometimes there were situations where we would be waiting for each visit's 2 hours only, and you can only visit a detainee once every day, only for a 2 hour visit.
Yeah.
But there were times where I would go to visit Christian and they would have failed to actually call him up, so we would lose half an hour of our 2 hour visit period. And there were some times where there was, you know, multiple employees checking you in, and those processes could take up to half an hour alone, and again you would lose half an hour off your visit times.
Yeah, gosh. I mean what happens at the end of the 2 hours? Does a bell ring? Does a shutter come down?
Well, at Maribyrnong they were much nicer. They usually would give you time to say goodbye, and Christian and I would get in a nice little kiss before the next visit. And but at, I think it was when we were at Broadmeadows, they actually the Broadmeadows transit accommodation, they actually had a siren go off, which seemed completely unnecessary when you've got small children sitting there. It was like calling the rats back into their cages. It was awful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was just saying, if you just come a bit closer to your microphone there, Christian, thanks. I was just saying, I know you said you spoke to each other a lot, all the time, on the phones. I was saying to Christian at the break off air, you know, did he realise how much community effort, everybody's effort actually, and your personal effort was going into it? Obviously you did, because Prudence would have told you.
Yes, that's right, yes. Great communication. It wouldn't have happened without the Apollo Bay support, without Prudence, Apollo Bay, my family, my work, my extended friends.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't have happened.
Not a day would go past where there would be like multiple people in our local community coming either into my workplace or stopping me on the street, and I would go home and say to Krishna, oh, you don't understand, you've got so many people out here that are supporting you, maybe even people that might surprise you that are supporting you, but there's not a day that goes past where I'm not stopped in the supermarket or down the street by at least 7 people a day asking after your well-being and hoping that you're hanging in there and staying strong.
Well, on that time, you were on Current Affair.
Yes, that's correct.
You were on Current Affair. You could have, all that was blowing down the Apollo Bay main street was a few tumbleweeds. Everybody was in front of their tellies watching Current Affair. Do you
it
know
It was
that?
Great.
Everybody, like and the town was
current
like
affair
a
done a great job as well. Yeah, they'd done a very lovely awesome story, yeah.
And they were lovely to work with too.
Yeah, okay. And so, Prince, you we'll start to wrap this up. You know, because you're busy guys. You've probably got to go off and sign some autographs
got
or
a
something.
The way
you
go, to do,
yeah,
famous for all the wrong reasons, as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
it's
not your fault, mate, is it?
Yeah.
I think you wanted to say there's the reason why you called me to come in here, is because you wanted to say something.
Well,
from
this is our community radio, and there's so many community people that we'd like to thank, and I know that I'm not going to get everybody in this thank you, but there's so many people, so for those I forget, I apologise. But Caroline, there's just truly so many people I'd like to thank that have been absolutely instrumental in helping Christian and I throughout this ordeal. I would love to say thank you to all the people in the initial stages that helped when we were gathering letters from the community members, that assisted with the legal ministerial intervention and the citizenship by descent applications in the first 3 to 4 months.
Yep.
They were so powerful in their, they were statutory declarations, and they were instrumental as a part of those submissions. And I thank all those wonderful people without naming them individually. And to the man that can only be described as an angel that came to me one night in a late night phone call asking me what can I do to help, and that was John Gorman.
He's the head
of
the
Chamber
of Commerce,
yes, of Apollo Bay, and he has been a massive support to me on so many levels, and all the late night phone calls and continuous campaigning on behalf of Christian and the family. And to our beautiful Sally Gunn, I say Gunn because she is Sally Gunn Cannon, saying thank you just does not feel like enough to explain our deepest heartfelt thanks for all your efforts and time. To Peter Bourne for the wonderful painting of the free Christian sign right before he left for holidays, only giving him 2 days to make that happen, and how instrumental that message was from the sky. And for Amber Nozita for taking that aerial shot and committing to help even before we had locked in a Current Affair 24 hours before the day of the walk of support. To Greg Evans for making that a connection, that initial connection with the Current Affair 24 hours before, and bringing that to fruition, and for a Current Affair for the beautiful coverage that they did with the family and everybody up on the top of Mariner's Lookout that day. To the local newspapers for the articles and getting the stories out in the beginning. And without so many thanks, but especially to all the individuals in our community that took the time to write their letters to Sarah Henderson and emails to Sarah Henderson, and getting the message across to the also to a big thanks to Sarah Henderson for being an advocate and getting the messages across to the government and the ministers. I'd also like to thank Councillor Stephen Hart for attending the community rally, and the councillors who then went on to support Christian and the Otway Shire Council, who wrote a letter to the Minister and Home Affairs to request for immediate intervention or just to have an answer one way or another. Christian's bosses from JCOR, Andy and Jace, and the whole Concrete Pumping family, thank you. And finally, I'd like to give my sincere thanks and gratitude to the Zushner families of Apollo Bay, especially Pete and Graham. They've been a tremendous support to Christian, my son Robert, and myself. It's so heartwarming, and I'm feeling so blessed to have them through my side through this ordeal. I'd like to say thank you to all of our community for your words of support and the messages that kept us strong through this traumatic and difficult time that I wouldn't wish upon any other. And finally, for all the families that are going through similar experiences and heartbreaking family separations, our thoughts are with you, and we wish you all the best in your fight. And Apollo Bay community, you bloody rock.
Fantastic. That was lovely. Well done. And you're obviously both still quite emotional about it.
Absolutely.
A little bit of a tear in your eye there, Christian.
Absolutely.
And yours, Prudence. And don't do that, because I'm like a really emotional person too, and I've got to keep this show going, mate.
It wouldn't have happened without the Apollo Bay community.
Yep.
And Sarah Henderson, and just everybody's like a big family.
Yep.
Down here.
Well, it's fantastic to have you home. I'm just going to wrap this up now so you two can go home and get some dinner and have a glass of wine or something. And with your permission, what I will do later on tonight, once I finish at 9 o'clock, I'll edit this and put it up as a podcast if I get your permission for that. So
absolutely.
Everybody can link on to...
Thanks very much, Carolyn.
Yeah, thanks for having us tonight.
Through ABR as well.
Yep, no worries at all. So if you want to hear this interview with Christian and Prudence again, or you're caught it halfway through, you can tune into Radio Caroline at 7 a.m. on Thursday morning. So it'll be broadcast then again on the repeat. Or alternatively, in a couple of days' time, if you go onto apollobayradio.podbean.com, you'll be able to pick up the interview there. So thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Caroline. Yeah, all right. I'll just let this run.